Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. You know, I think those who would consider themselves perhaps to be veterans in ministry would maybe look back upon them and now call them the good old days. And what I mean by that is before COVID and all the fighting about masks and vaccines and before topics like racism and gun control and abortion and human sexuality brought great division amongst Christians. And before there was this interwoven nightmare between politics and religion or politics and the church, before much of that, there was a season that was appropriately named, but I would maybe even say inappropriately named this. It was called the worship wars, where there was this arguing and fighting around music. That at the heart of the worship wars was the style of music. On one hand, you had those who saw a hymn as being as sacred as Scripture, but then other people would see it and say, no, it's outdated and irrelevant today. And then you'd have contemporary music that for some was seen as an innovative way to reach people, but others would look at it and say, you're just saying the same things over and over and over and over and over and over again, ad nauseum, 7-Eleven songs. You heard of it? And so you had these worship wars around the style of music. And never mind the fact that if you look at both hymns and at contemporary music and you read the lyrics and look at what it's saying, it's saying the very same things about who God is and what God is doing and what Jesus has done for us. And never mind the fact that you have a hymn, I need thee every hour. And you have a contemporary song that says, Lord, I need you. And they're saying the exact same thing, that we all have a desperate need for God. I mean, never mind that, but these worship wars brought too much division amongst the church. And I would say, you know, preferences still remain. Fair enough. The war has perhaps subsided or settled a bit. Everybody just kind of does their thing. Okay, settled down a little bit. But even today, if we name worship, perhaps the very first thing that comes to our mind is music, and the second thing that comes to mind is a critique, yes? I mean, how many of you have heard these sorts of things? Like, the music didn't inspire me. Or, I just didn't like the songs we sang today. Or, the songs were too fast, too slow, too hard to sing, too simple, too loud, too soft, too something else. The music wasn't performed well enough, or all it was performance. I mean, that's only a snippet of the comments I've heard. Maybe you've heard of some other ones. And anybody else want to raise their hand and admit with me? Yeah, guilty of saying one or two of those things. Today's missional health marker about a healthy church is called heartfelt worship. And I want to start off this morning by perhaps saying one of the most controversial things that I probably have ever said from the pulpit, okay? You ready for it? Heartfelt worship has nothing to do with an organ or a drum set. Heartfelt worship has nothing to do with whether the song is a hymn or a praise song. Heartfelt worship has nothing to do with whether the singers sing in melody or in harmony. Heartfelt worship has nothing to do with whether the words are read out of a book or off a screen. Heartfelt worship isn't even about other things that actually happen in worship. Worship is much more than just music, yes? And heartfelt worship is so much more than just if the sermon was this beautiful blend of eloquence and winsomeness. Worship is so much more than lights flashing or emotions being stirred or being entertained or getting pumped up. Heartfelt worship is about so much more than that. In fact, heartfelt worship isn't about any of that stuff. You know what heartfelt worship is about? Heartfelt worship is about the heart of worship. And the heart of worship is our heart. Heartfelt worship is about our heart. Heartfelt worship does not begin or end with what the church is doing or offering or providing. Heartfelt worship begins and ends with what we bring to worship, and that's our heart. This psalm that we read a moment ago, just a part of it, Psalm 86, it is not one of those rock and praise psalms that David writes elsewhere in the book of Psalms. In fact, it's a prayer. More than that, it's a prayer of lament. It's raw. It's honest. The beginning part of this psalm, the end part of this psalm, is David. He's crying out to God in his trouble. He's pleading to God for help. And yet here in the middle, what we read this morning, David pauses from lament and he offers this brief word of worship. And from these words, I believe that we can glean the kind of heart that is necessary for us to pursue and experience heartfelt worship. And what we see is that it begins with a heart that yearns to come and worship. Worship is about coming. Yes, God's presence is always amongst us. That is so true. And yet worship is this intentional movement on our part to come and gather into the presence of God in order to glorify and worship God. And this coming is together with one another. It's a communal practice. Just this past week, I was working on a project for our worship ministry team here at Westview, and I ran across this quote, and I read it, and I'm like, this is so good. I need to include that this Sunday. So I want to put this quote here up on the screen. I want to invite you just follow along as I read it aloud to us here this morning. Quote says this, "Worship is one setting in which we see the church in action, and we attempt to demonstrate and deepen the unity, holiness, and witness of the church." Isn't that good? But this is what I really loved about this quote. Check this out. Worship is a first-person plural activity. It is extremely significant that otherwise remarkably different people nevertheless offer praise together, pray together, listen together, and make promises together. Isn't that good? Worship is a we activity, not just a me activity. It's this place where so many of us, that the only time that we actually are in the same spot together in all of life is right here, right now. Now, I know some of us were friends outside of church, outside of worship. Wonderful. But this is the one time in life where all of us are together in this space and did the same time at the same thing. And we are remarkably different people. We are different people with different thoughts, different opinions, different agendas, different political leanings. And that's okay, because all these remarkably different people can come together in one place. And we praise together, and we pray together, and we study God's Word together, we listen together, we fellowship together, we make promises together. And I think that this is just a tiny, tiny little glimpse of what David says in that verse where he says, all the nations are going to come together. All these different people are going to come together. Come and worship before you, O Lord. Now, can we worship at home? Yeah, we can. Can we worship when we're out for a walk in the woods or on a walk on the seashore? Yeah, I think we can. But heartfelt worship that is a marker of a healthy church includes a heart that is yearning to come together and be with one another in worship to bring God glory to God's name. And you don't need me this morning to tell you that COVID did a number on this. For a time, our ability to gather together wasn't even possible, wasn't even allowed. and reopening of in-person worship brought a full new era of worship wars. Masks or no masks? Social distancing. How do we preach? How do we sing? How do we do communion? How do we greet? How do we do donut holes? How do we do all this and this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that? It was mind-numbing and it was exhausting and it was downright discouraging. And in the midst of all that, personal and family patterns and habits and choices and even priorities changed. Now, in the 2 years plus that we've reopened in-person worship, I can go back and I think I've addressed this now maybe two or three, four times maybe. And I recognize that I'm addressing it twice in a row because I talked about this last week as well in the context of Christian community, but I think it's worth saying again now in the context of worship. And the other thing I found out is that our live stream last week was hampered significantly. You couldn't really hear. And so I don't even know how much was heard. And so I just want to reiterate something I said last week to all of you and to all of you at home as well. And I say it now in the context of worship, of a heart that comes, a heart that yearns to come and gather together and worship. And so hear my heart again this week. Hear my heart that if there is a health concern amongst COVID or otherwise that is keeping us and prohibiting us from gathering together for in-person worship, I want you to know I understand, we understand, we respect that. We love you, we care about you, we want the best for you, we miss you, but we understand. But if there is something else that is keeping us from gathering together, whether it is the fact that we've just gotten into a rut, or we've gotten into some bad habits, or priorities have changed, or it is not as convenient, and we just like to stay home in our pajamas, and it's easier just to watch it and be passive. If those are the things, if we've just gotten lazy, I want you to know we love you and we care about you. We want the best for you and we miss you. And you're missing this. This opportunity where we gather together with brothers and sisters, remarkably different people, praying together, praising together, listening together, making promises together. And a part of heartfelt worship is to be together, a heart that is yearning to come and to worship. Another thing we see here in Psalm 86 that David says is, heartfelt worship is highlighted by a heart that is set upon God. So I want to say another, I'll call it the second most controversial thing I'm going to say today, but you might be like, dude, you're at five or six already. Right? But this is intentionally the second most controversial thing I'm going to say today, and that's this. Worship isn't about us. Worship is not about you. Worship is not about me. Worship is not about us, ever. Worship is not about my emotions. Worship is not about getting my needs met. Worship is not about my preferences. Worship is not about getting pumped up like attending a homecoming rally and that I can charge out and study to storm the field of life. Worship is not about those things. Worship is about God, period. It's about who God is. Verse 8, among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. Verse 10, you are God alone. Worship is about what God has done. Verse 8 again, no deeds compare with yours. Verse 10 again, for you are great and you do marvelous deeds. Heartfelt worship is about having a heart whose only aim and only desire and only yearning is to declare the glory of God and to worship Him in His holiness and in His splendor. Verse 12 says this, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, that our hearts set upon worshiping God in His holiness and His splendor, giving thanks to Him for His grace and for His mercy, for celebrating His salvation and His deliverance. David says in verse 13, your great love toward me, you have delivered me from the depths of the grave. See, our heart in worship has one aim, and that is to boast about who God is. And it is to declare what God has done. And it is to commit to what God is inviting us to continue to participate in as His people. And when our focus, when our heart is set, all of our heart is upon God and upon God alone, then we are getting at the heart of worship. And we are living into heartfelt worship. Now, a little bit is similar in nature, but different in practice. We find another thing that David says here. Look at the middle of verse 11 with me. David talks about that an undivided heart is another aspect here of heartfelt worship. And the word here for undivided means to be united. But not just to be united. It has this emphasis where then we're able to concentrate. We're able to focus. Now again, you don't need me to tell you something this morning. You don't need me to tell you that life is full of distractions. Yes? I mean, I can remember, especially when the kids were younger, that hour between 4:30 and 5:30, you know, after school and before supper. Wow, lots going on there. Trying to get supper ready, don't want to burn supper, and yet you have what going on? You have text messages flooding your phone, you've got toddlers playing in the toilet, and you've got laundry all over the kitchen table, and you've got a spouse that's going to be late from work, you've got planners that need to be signed, you're going to be running late for your evening meeting, all these things that are going on all the time. Life is just distracting. It's hard to focus on not burning supper, right? Let alone what we're going to title this morning, the Sunday morning shuffle. You know what I'm talking about? Now, here's the thing. I fully confess, I cannot speak with any real integrity on this because my world is such that I'm here quite early and Heather flies solo every Sunday morning and has done that for the past 14 years because of my occupation. And so I don't speak with a lot of authority about what the Sunday morning shuffle looks like. I just know that it's got to be a lot easier now when they're 14, 12, and 10 than they were 4, 2, and 0. All I know is I heard my precious wife say, it is the hardest morning of the week. Fair enough? I do remember what it's like, though, when I was a kid. I can't speak to what it's like as a parent, but I can speak to it as a kid. I remember, you know, your mom or dad waking you up, and you got to get up, you got to eat breakfast, you got to brush your teeth, you got to get your clothes on, and you fight about clothes, because I wanted to wear certain clothes, but my mom and dad said, no, you're not going to wear those kind of clothes. And then you got to get your hair brushed, all those sorts of things. Then you're going to get in the car, and it's like, you know, you get about 50 things done in the last 2 minutes, right, because you waited to the very end, and so you get in the car in a huff, and don't worry, it's only 3 miles from our farm to the church, going into town. Don't worry, we're fighting as siblings in the back seat. Mom and dad are getting upset, and oh my goodness, someone forgot to brush their teeth, someone has mismatched shoes on, someone's pouting about something, and then we walk into the church with a smile on our face, ready to worship God. Sound familiar to anybody? Let alone the heaviness we're carrying from the past week that's been, and the anxiety we have for the week to come. We've got that job that still has a few open positions, and so we are carrying an extra load another week, and we are tired. And that grade we got in that test did not have the letter grade that we were hoping for. And this coming week, we've got the game against the arch rival, and I got to remember the plays and all the things I need to do. And our friends made Friday night plans and didn't include us. And we've got the blood lab work that was sent off and we're waiting to hear back from. We've got the window that keeps leaking every time it rains, and we just go on and fill in the blank. And then we come into church and the church doors with a smile on our face and ready to worship God, yes? And we come in just a little bit late. They're only halfway through the first song, right? It's not so bad. And I have to imagine in that moment, again, this is not my experience because my experience Sunday morning is very different, but I have to imagine that when we're walking to the doors with a smile on our face, right, the first thing on our mind isn't like, how can I glorify God today? It's no, are the only open seats up front? Hey, no judgment. No judgment. None at all. I get it. You know, with the craziness of life, coming into the doors of the church on a Sunday morning is a victory in itself, yes? And coming in with a half smile on our face, we are winning. But the hard part is that we have a heart then, in that moment, that is far from undivided. Far from ready to concentrate, to fully devote ourselves to glorifying God. And an undivided heart is so essential for heartfelt worship. So what does this look like? I don't know if I have any perfect answers, but I do remember something else as a kid. I remember sometimes we'd have to come to church fairly early. And our family got there decently on time. But like I'm like talking like, you may be there for choir or for something else. Maybe dad had to be there early for something. And you get there early. And I always noticed that there was a segment of our congregation that was always there half an hour early, 9 o'clock. And I would watch them. You know what they did? They would walk into church. And they were not there early to chit-chat or to catch up on the latest gossip. They would walk up and they would slide into their pews. And I watched them. You know what the first thing they did was? Their heads bowed. And they prayed. And when they were done praying, their head would come up and they just sat and rested in silence. They had a time where they would quiet their heart and quiet their spirit. They were preparing themselves for worship so that they might have an undivided heart. Now, I get it. I'm not saying we're all going to show up next week at 9 o'clock in the morning, right? I get it. Things are a little different. I'm old, right? Things are different today. But I do wonder, what adjustments could we make? So that rather than rushing in, you know, into worship and we're carrying the weight of the morning and everything that didn't go well this morning, the Sunday morning shuffle, and rather than carrying all the weight of the week that has been in the past and the week that is to come, how can we settle our hearts and be prepared for worship so that we can have an undivided heart and come to God with an undivided heart ready to worship Him? Heartfelt worship includes ourselves coming with an undivided heart. The other kind of heart that we see here from David that he leads us to have heartfelt worship is to have a humble heart. Look at the beginning of verse 11. We're in the middle. Now jump up to the beginning of verse 11. David says this. He says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth." David says, "Teach me." Now get this right. This is the same David who wrote a ton of Psalms. This is David who's a sharp cookie. This is the same David who took down Goliath. This is the same David who ruled over the nation of Israel for 40 years. I mean, David is a smart guy. He knows a lot of things. And he's saying, teach me. He's acknowledging that he's got something to learn, that he doesn't know all the things about all the things just yet. And he wants to learn more. Why? So that he can obey God. So that he can obey. He, teach me, David says, so that I can walk in your truth, so that I can obey you. See, friends, heartfelt worship includes a humble heart. A humble heart, a willingness to say, I'm coming here to learn. I'm coming here to grow. I need to acknowledge that I don't know all the things about all the things, and there's plenty more, much more, God, that you have for me that you can show me this day. And so we humble ourselves before God and say, teach me. Teach me because I want to obey you. Teach me because I want to walk in your truth, not my own. Teach me because I want to walk according to your will, not my own desires. Teach me from your word, God, not because I don't want to walk according to what I'm reading online on Fox News or CNN or what I'm reading someone's opinion on Twitter. No, you're my Lord. You're my master. So you, Lord, teach me so I can walk according to your truth. That's humility. That takes submission. When we come to worship with a humble heart, a posture of reception, a heart that is expressing, God, I want to know who you are and what you've done and what your will is. I want to know what your truth is, even if it's going to be different than what I walked in thinking. That's a humble heart, and that leads to heartfelt worship. Probably said it once or twice or three or four times already, but let me just say it one more time. Heartfelt worship isn't about a rockin' song from the praise team. But it is cool when they rock, yes? Heartfelt worship is not about a powerful sermon with the perfect blend of delighting and challenging and convicting and encouraging. But hopefully there's a few of them like that in there. Heartfelt worship is not about if I got my emotions toyed with, or if I was entertained, or if I leave feeling pumped up to face the week. Heartfelt worship is about the heart of worship. And the heart of worship is our heart. It's a heart that yearns to come and gather together to the praise of God. It's a heart that is set on God alone, who He is, what He's done. It's a heart that is undivided, able to concentrate on God. And it's a heart that is humble, ready to learn, ready to grow, ready to obey. Westview, should we worship with this kind of heart, then our worship will be heartfelt. So as we close this morning, we're going to spend a moment or two again in reflection. And this is part of our health check, as we're calling it each week, where we just take a moment to reflect and pause and we've kind of likened it to our health scan that we do. And it's a time where we are inviting all of us just to simply acknowledge between us and God where we're at. And we're not going to, you know, we don't share this, we don't talk about this with each other. This is just a time for you to be honest and see. We as a church here at Westview, we want to continue to move forward into God's will. And we want to do that from a place of health. And the only way that we can move forward is if we know where we're at. And it does not matter if we're here or here or here or here. We just want to take one faithful step forward. And so these reflection questions give us some time just to think and pause and pray. We have the health marker before us. We've studied God's Word, and now it's time for us to do our scan. So we're going to ask a couple of questions this morning. Here's the first question, and it's going to have just a little short follow-up in just a second. But the first question says this: how do I prepare my heart for worship so I can fully focus on God? This is coming back to that section around the undivided heart. So in other words, what are my current practices or lack of practices that I do so that I can be fully ready, my heart is fully ready to worship God? Now I recognize that for many of us, maybe for most of us, it's more like, dude, I made it to worship. I call that a win. Fair enough. Fair enough. If that's where we're at, that's fine. Again, no judgment. And so we're going to have a follow-up question. Here's the follow-up question. Instead of how do I, how can I prepare my heart for worship to be able to fully focus on God? See, what I want us to do is I want us to reflect on what is or isn't happening in our lives to have a heart that's ready to worship. And I'm just going to encourage you, be honest with yourself, be honest with God on this. And if necessary, I'm going to invite you, consider what adjustments or what things can change so that I can, in fact, have a heart that is ready to worship God. Maybe for some of us, it is getting up a little earlier on Sunday morning. I know that's hard. It's our day off. But maybe we just have to get up just a little earlier. Maybe for some of us, like when I was a kid at home, maybe we got to lay out the clothes the night before so the fight doesn't happen that morning. Maybe for some of us, we just need to put on some music as we drive to worship. Or maybe we just sit in silence and let the quietness sweep over us and settle us as we drive into worship. Maybe for some of us, we need to read the scripture passage that we'll be studying the night before, the morning of. You know, it comes out Thursday in the View. So whatever it is, I want to allow you some time this morning. Just think and pray and pause and reflect upon how do I or how can I prepare my heart for worship. Take a few moments to think about that, please. All right, so our second question is going to take us in a completely different direction, but yet it's still what we talked about here this morning. The second question is about, you know, part of worship is declaring the great and marvelous deeds that God has done. So the second question is simply this: what can I praise God for today? What can I praise God for today? You know, what has gone on already this morning? Or what happened this weekend? Or what happened this past week? What happened this past month or year? Whatever in our life. What can I praise God for today. So what I want you to do is invite you just to pause and to reflect and say, God, I thank you. I praise you for this and this and this. And then what I would love for you to do is just to take a moment and offer a silent prayer of thanksgiving to God. Thank you, God. And can you imagine everyone here in this worship space, all of you online who are pausing and praying, flooding God's throne room with thanks and praise today because we have things to praise God for. So take a moment to pause. What can I praise God for this morning? And then offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Let's do that now.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.